This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Ben standing here with you until 6:45 when it becomes Capitals opening night here on 106.7 The Fan, but we've talked a bunch about the Commanders and the Ravens this week. We're going to keep doing that right now with some perspective from the Baltimore side. Childs Walker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. He also, as part of the Ravens beat crew, has to deal with my colleague at The Athletic, Jeff Zrebeck, the pugnacious teddy bear. I just made that up for him, Childs. Is that a reasonable comp for him?
I think that's wonderful. One of my best friends in the business. We've known each other for 20 years, so I've gotten to see all sides of the pugnacious teddy bear. But that's a pretty good summation.
Well, I appreciate that. Jeff and I were talked a lot this week because we combined on a story about this game and looking at different angles. And I know you wrote something comparable as well about. You know, is this a rivalry? Is it not a rivalry? What does this mean? Is it just the quarterbacks and so on? What for you, beyond like the act, we'll get to the X's and O's aspect, but broadly, does this mean anything for the Ravens? Is there bragging rights? Do they see Washington as a team, as an organization that's on the rise? Or where do you think it is from the bigger picture and from your side?
Yeah, I think for the Ravens specifically, it doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, I think it's just, I mean, it's a dangerous opponent that they respect at a time when they're coming on themselves, you know, putting their 0-2 start behind them. So, I mean, it's certainly an important game for them. I mean, they want to maintain the momentum that they've built over the last few weeks, but I don't think they think much about the DC Baltimore part of it. I do think it has become a big game for the fans of the region. I don't know if it's necessarily so much about bragging rights, although we might see some of that. I mean, I do think we'll see a lot of Washington fans in the stadium tomorrow. Certainly you would think that based on the ticket prices that we're seeing. But to me, I mean, it could sort of signal the beginning of a new age for, you know, Beltway football, where you have, you know, exciting teams with, you know, signature quarterbacks on both ends of the thing. And, you know, look, they play every 4 years, so it's not going to be a true rivalry in a football sense, but it certainly could be, you know, a richer football conversation in this whole region. And I think that would be a cool thing for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, on the street level, sure, if you know a Ravens fan or if you're a Ravens fan, you know a Commanders fan, you know, there's obviously going to be some bragging rights, trash talking. My buddy Tom is a big Ravens guy and off the – you know, he'll want to give me grief one way or the other, even though I have no rooting interest in this. But, you know, that's how that goes. I do think, though, there is something interesting with the organizations. The Ravens have had a clear path to bring in fans over the last 20 years because of all the dysfunction here and the Ravens win. And while it's still early for the Commanders, new ownership, new direction with the football side, it does feel like they are turning it around, at least in terms of the, you know, competency and with a potential for building a new stadium on the same Landover spot. But I do wonder, does this battle become more about the organizations fighting over those fans that are sort of in the middle and just all else that comes with territorial right situations with two teams so close by?
Yeah, and that's a real thing. I mean, that sort of war, especially in those kind of traditional border counties, Howard, which is where I live, and Anne Arundel. I mean, those have always been the kind of the two counties where you have a lot of people who are fans of both. And, you know, one of the guys I talked to for my story was Ravens rookie safety Bo Braid, who grew up in Clarksville, which is in Howard County. That's pretty much directly between Baltimore and D.C. And he said, yes, there were Washington football fans, you know, in his high school. His dad was a Washington football fan. But to him as a kid, you know, it was just an obvious choice for the Ravens because they had, you know, they had Ray Lewis, they had Ed Reed, they had Terrell Suggs. I mean, they were good every year. And, you know, what you were seeing in Washington at that time was a lot of mediocrity and a lot of dysfunction. And so, yeah, I mean, it's weird because when I was growing up, it was sort of the flip side. It was Baltimore was probably kind of jealous of D.C. because the Colts had left town. And, you know, under Joe Gibbs, you know, Washington was such a model football franchise. They won 3 Super Bowls. And, you know, I think a lot of people in those in-between counties did become Washington fans. But it kind of flipped. You know, over the last 25 years, it's been the Ravens who were the model franchise and Washington who couldn't get its stuff together. So maybe finally you get interesting, well-run franchises with exciting players on both ends. And that would be a dynamic that we have not seen for a long time.
No, that is very true. Okay. We're talking with Childs Walker, reporter for the Baltimore Sun, talking about Sunday's big game. It is the biggest game on the NFL slate for Week 6, Commanders at Ravens. All right, let's get into that a little bit. You won't be shocked to know that Jaden Daniels is kind of the talk of the town, if not the entire NFL. And look, he's been very impressive in every way possible, but you kind of wonder at some point, when will defenses make some big adjustments? Last week, the Browns played a ton of man coverage. It was the third most man coverage that any team has used this year, and it was the most Washington had faced since 2019. And it was Jaden Daniels' least effective game in terms of completion percentage. I don't know if that's in Baltimore's plans, but what's your sense of how the Ravens go about trying to slow down this really impressive rookie?
Yeah, I think that they'll focus on trying to set a really tough edge so he's boxed in a little bit, and then I think they will at least try to give him sort of confusing pictures as much as they can, you know, not give him quick, easy looks, which he's been so good at hitting. Whether they'll be able to do that is open question based on their results recently. I mean, they were excellent against Buffalo. I mean, they were constantly in Josh Allen's face, and they did not give him a lot of easy targets. I mean, you know, they were able to play man pretty effectively in that game. But then we saw the total flip side in Cincinnati last weekend where, you know, Joe, I mean, they got a little bit of pressure on Joe Burrow, but, you know, he was unbothered by it, and he was constantly able to find the matchups that he wanted. Too many open receivers downfield, and even when there weren't open receivers, he was able to kind of pick the right one-on-one matchups, and he just sliced them up. So, you know, they were a very good defense last year under Mike McDonald in terms of, you know, presenting deceptive pictures to the quarterback. I mean, you know, lots of simulated pressure, lots of different looks in the secondary, you know, switching between zone and man. We haven't seen that as much this year, but I think that that's at least what they'll try to do with the rookie tomorrow and try to give him the greatest challenge that he's seen to this point.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, I get it that this isn't the Ray Lewis, Ed Reed Ravens, but one of the reasons it makes the Ravens such a team you have to respect is they compete. And if you're going to beat them, you really have to do your thing. You can't just walk in there the way teams say have done with Washington the last few years and say, we're walking in and we kind of know we're gonna get this win. What about the Ravens secondary? There's some familiar names, some notable names, but it doesn't feel like it's been completely clicking. Washington does have Terry McLaurin, of course, and Daniels has been getting other guys involved. What's going on with the Ravens secondary right now?
Yeah, I think what's a little bit confusing is that there's still a lot of quality personnel there, right? I mean, it's not like you look at it and say, you know, oh, these guys just can't play. You know, with unfamiliar names, they can't play. I mean, it's, you know, you have Marlon Humphrey, who's been an All-Pro cornerback and made the big play at the end of the Cincinnati game, obviously. Brandon Stevens, not as well known, but played very well last year as a starting corner, and you know, is fast and physical. And you know, if he's the guy who ends up matched up on McLaurin for most of the day tomorrow, I mean, he's the guy who will fight a top receiver all the way down the field. You know, then you have Kyle Hamilton, who's sort of the ultimate Swiss Army knife back there. I mean, will make a lot of plays at the line of scrimmage, but can also drop back and cover slot receivers and tight ends. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type player. The guy who's probably most underperformed this year is Marcus Williams, who's their guy on the back end. You know, guy they signed to a $70 million deal three years back. You know, was supposed to be, you know, their big playmaker back there, and that hasn't entirely worked out. Partially due to injuries, but he's been healthy this year and just has not played that well. So, I mean, they're certainly looking for more from him. But, yeah, I mean, the communications haven't been up to snuff this year. I mean, they've been probably losing a few more one-on-one battles than they expected to. And, you know, they're clearly concerned about it. We saw that this week. I mean, they just brought in their former defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, you know, as sort of an experienced, I think, second set of eyes is how Zach Orr put it, the defensive coordinator put it, you know, just to sort of, you know, think about what's not working with the secondary. So clearly it's become the greatest worry on the team and something that they're sorting through, even though, as I just said, I mean, the personnel seemingly is there.
Yeah, no, that's the part that's been confusing from this end. The Ravens are allowing, I believe, that they're 31st right now in passing yards allowed, which is an unusual place for them to be in. We're talking with Childs Walker, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. All right, let's go to the other side. I've been saying for Washington, you can point to a lot of different things as keys to the game. You know, don't you know, win the turnover battle, things like that. But if I had to pick one thing, I think it's they've got to be able to slow Derrick Henry down. Lamar is a whole complicated situation, but slowing Henry down at least maybe makes the Ravens offense a little more one-dimensional. Problem is Washington hasn't slowed anybody down this year in the run game. How much of a factor do you think is Derrick Henry going to be, and what are the odds that Washington is able to really slow him down at all?
Well, he's going to be a big factor one way or another. We know that, right? I mean, last week Cincinnati did a pretty good job of slowing him down for most of the game, and then he makes the biggest play in overtime, right? I mean, you know, you keep giving him the ball, and eventually something is going to crack, and he's going to get out around the edge and beat you. I mean, that's the horrible thing with him is you can do and the Ravens saw this from the other side against him back when they had kind of a mini rivalry with the Titans, you know, back 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, you can do a great job on Derrick Henry for 3.5 quarters, and he can still beat you in the end because I mean he's that type of big play guy. But I guess I'm interested to hear from you. Do you think that they will try to stack the box on the Ravens like the Bengals did? You know, really get 8 guys up there. You know, A blitz Lamar and B try to you know stuff up all the lanes for Derrick Henry and really really force Lamar to try to beat them over the top. I mean, that's what Cincinnati did. It worked for a little while, but then obviously didn't work in the end. I mean, he was able to punish them consistently when the Ravens were playing from behind, but is that kind of what you expect Washington to try, at least starting off tomorrow?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, they pretty much play nickel all the time. That doesn't seem like the ideal scenario with a Derrick Henry. The problem is I don't know really what else they would do. Maybe go 5 defensive linemen. There's not an obvious third guy. Now, the last 2 weeks, the pass rush has finally showed up. They've had 11 sacks combined the last 2 games, and that has helped what I would say is the defensive weakness in their cornerbacks. The problem is if they're, you know, if you send too many guys up front, that leaves your corners in a lot of one-on-one. And, you know, I know the Ravens don't necessarily have like the most dominant receivers, but Lamar is really good and you've got those tight ends as well. So that's my concern is if the pass rush doesn't get to Lamar and he's able to still make the throw, I worry about what happens to them on the back end. But to your point, you got to do something. You can't just sit passive and let Lamar / Derrick Henry come at you. So they're going to have to come up with something unique. I mentioned the tight ends. You know, I know Mark Andrews has not had, you know, fantasy football owners know he's not exactly been producing. Lively is an interesting threat. And I do wonder if Washington does go with whether it's, you know, 5 defensive linemen or somehow push guys up. What does that mean for the tight ends? Because I don't know that they have the guys to cover them. Even Luvu and Walker, that's not their strength either. So what about those 2 tight ends as threats in this game?
Yeah, I mean the huge part of the Ravens' offense, and actually even their third tight end, Charlie Kohler has become a bigger part of their offensive late. I mean, he's a guy who you will see in on early downs a lot as a run blocker, but you know, every once in a while they'll send him downfield to sort of prove that he's a threat on those early downs. So I mean, it is absolutely going to be a problem for every team they play, because you know, I understand the discourse that sort of grew around Mark Andrews. I mean, look, the bottom line is he was drafted as probably a top three or four fantasy tight end, and the numbers just weren't there. But he's a guy who's going to have some big receiving games this year. I mean, the skills, both athletically and with the ball, are not gone. And the chemistry he's had better chemistry with Lamar than anybody over the course of their career. And that's not gone either. I mean, we saw it plenty over the summer. So, I mean, he's going to have a big game at some point, and, you know, could certainly happen tomorrow. And likely is every bit as capable of doing that. I mean, we saw that in the opener against Kansas City. I mean, you know, he's a great yards after catch guy. I mean, he really is almost like a giant wide receiver at times, and he's probably their best guy in the red zone. Probably their best, you know, Lamar's best target in the end zone. I mean, we saw that on the incredible play last week where he drops the ball and stiff arms the guy and scrambles and ultimately finds likely in the end zone for a touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big problem for Washington, and you can't dismiss their wide receivers either. I mean, Zay Flowers, again, there's going to be weeks where his numbers aren't there, but he's a very good dynamic player all over the field. And look, Rashad Bateman to DU, he showed that against the Bengals last week. So this might be the most versatile Ravens offense that I've ever seen. I mean, it really is kind of a pick your poison situation against them right now.
All right, we're talking with Childs Walker for the Baltimore Sun. Let me kind of just get you out of here on some Lamar Jackson thoughts. You know, There's obviously been a lot of talk this week about the two quarterbacks. From the perspective here, hey, look, everybody's all in on Jaden Daniels. This is super exciting. And, you know, I talked earlier, it's not really a direct comparison other than they're both former Heisman winners who are very mobile. But the comparison kind of breaks from there. Daniels more of a natural passer than Lamar. But Lamar's a two-time MVP. Jeff told me earlier in the week he thought maybe this has been Lamar's best start to any season. I'm curious, do you think it's sort of the best start to his career? And then secondly, do you think that all this Jaden Daniels talk about him, like, he's a competitor, you don't have to fire him up, but does it give him a little extra something to be like, well, okay, hold on. Before you're anointing anybody, let me remind everybody who's the two-time MVP.
He's a very competitive person. I actually don't think he thinks a lot about the other quarterback. I mean, he's been so consistent in saying that over the years, and I don't get the sense that that's where his fuel comes from. I mean, you know, he frankly doesn't say much when he's asked about the other quarterbacks. I mean, he's always gracious, and you know, he said nice things about Jaden, and you know, said he voted for him for the Heisman, all that stuff. But I mean, that's never been his focus, so I don't think that's a huge driver for him in terms of whether this is the best start that he's ever had. I think it probably is. I mean, he's had incredible stretches in his two MVP seasons, but they weren't maybe right out of the gate over five games like this has been. I mean, he's absolutely at the top of his game. I mean, he's very comfortable with what Todd Monken is asking him to do. He's got more responsibility than he's ever had. He has not been making mistakes in terms of his passing reads. You know, has not been hurting them with turnovers. I mean, he's just and he's as dynamic as ever as a runner. And the pairing with Henry has been incredible. I mean, you know, watching those two guys play off of each other. I mean, it might be the best sort of power speed runner in the league paired with the most elusive runner in the league, and that's quite a thing for a defense to contend with.
Absolutely. All right, so let me get you here. We got about 30 seconds left. I guess just give me your you know, I know we all love predictions. Give us your prediction, and why do you think whatever you're going to say happens?
Yeah, I picked the Ravens. I do think it'll be a fairly high scoring game. I think I can't remember what I said for the paper. I think 34-24. I think that Washington is not going to be able to find a solution to the Ravens offense. I don't really think they have the personnel to shut down either their running game or their passing game necessarily. And I do think they'll be able to put up points, but I think it's possible that they get Daniels to make a mistake at some point. And, you know, not that this is a game that will show that Washington isn't there yet, but I think this is clearly a step up in competition for them, and we'll maybe see that a little bit tomorrow.
All right. Well, look forward to it. Look forward to saying hello in the press box. Childs Walker with the Baltimore Sun at Childs Walker on X, Twitter. Appreciate the time and the insight. I know it'll be really fascinating from our end, and it should be a competitive game all the way around. So much. Thanks so much for the time, Childs.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right, that was great insight there from the Baltimore side. We're going to talk Caps at 5:30 with John Walton, voice of the Capitals. But let's take a break, and we'll see if we have time to get back to your calls. 800-636-1067. The Fan, Ben standing with you until 6:45 here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go 5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, we're going to talk with the voice of the Capitals, John Walton, in a few minutes, but we'll squeeze in a call here. Ronnie in Bel Air, you've been patiently on hold. Thanks so much for waiting. Ronnie, before I get to your question, you agree, right? Bel Air is not in the DMV. It's in Maryland, not the DMV. You agree with me?
Yes, sir. Definitely not the DMV. All right, let's play this out. First of all, I love your podcast. I read you on The Athletic all the time. I love when you come in and talk with Coach Sheehan. I listen to you all the time, so it's nice to be able to talk with you.
Appreciate it.
I am a 49-year-old. I'm a long-time Washington Redskins fan. I was at RFK when that stadium was rocking. And in 96, when somebody decided to leave Cleveland, someone came and took my Thunder. And to me, it's not a rivalry at all. It's more like a rooting rivalry. It's not Dallas. It's not Philly. It's not the Giants. But for up here, if you're a Redskins fan, they look at you like you have cancer. They, if you're not wearing purple, they're just rude. They're ignorant. I want to go in there tomorrow, and I want to shock the world. I want to beat these guys.
I wasn't going to call, but the other caller called before talking about how it's going to be like Detroit. If you want to do that stuff, call 105.7. Talk to Ken Wyman. Talk to Vinny Serrano. Yeah, he did great for us. That's a story for another day. But I'm optimistic. I hope we come out, we play good. Anyway, even if we lose, we're playing with house money now. We're not supposed to be this good yet. I'm excited. But if we go in there and we get a win, that'd be great. If we get a loss, as long as we don't get blown out, I'm happy with it. But I would sure love tomorrow around 4 or something to be here and hail the Redskins coming from that stadium. Because the last time I was down in M&T when we did play them, and we beat them a couple years ago before Lamar, and at the end of the game, everybody's singing hail the Redskins, and I'm hoping that happens for tomorrow. But even if we do lose, as long as we don't get blown out, which we're working and we're progressing. As long as we're progressing, I'm happy. 4-2 when we go play Carolina, I'd be good. But I would admit, as living up here, being a lifelong Redskin fan and dealing with the Schneider years, and yes, it is a little bit of jealousy that they came in and they look good. They ran their organization right. We didn't. We had little Danny. Now
hey, Ronnie,
little Danny's gone.
No, I'm with you. Thanks.
I know you got to go, Ted. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the enthusiasm. And look, I get it. You're living in enemy territory, and I can imagine the Ravens fans are like, wrong colors, my guy. But yeah, look, my thing this whole year has been going into the year, if they're competitive, whatever the wins and losses are, and Jaden looks the part, that to me is a winning year. They're already very much achieving that, and tomorrow is a big test. All right, we'll be back. John Walton, voice of the Capitals, will join us here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, big day in town. We'll deal with the Commanders tomorrow. Today, it belongs to the Washington Capitals. Season opener tonight, down in Chinatown against the New Jersey Devils. Who better than to get a sense of what is happening than the voice of the Capitals, John Walton. And John, first off, I just want to say I'm so glad that you're doing your thing. You're back. I know you've been dealing with a lot, so I really am glad to hear that. And thanks so much for the time to talk about the season opener.
Oh, you bet, Ben. Glad to be here. And I tell you, I just came in from outside doing a TV hit out on F Street, and the fans are going crazy. And it's just so great to have hockey back and just have everybody downtown. It's awesome.
You know, I used to typically cover the Wizards side of things in that building, and it was very different. The vibes, the crowds, everything. The Caps have been, you know, a fan favorite for years now, and that's continued. How has that continued from your perspective? Even though, okay, it's been a little bit leaner since the title year, but how excited do you get the sense that people remain and are hopeful with what the changes the team has made?
Well, I think when you look at what's gone on, I'd say the last 2 years, I mean, it was called a little bit of a retool on the fly, and I don't think that's just word salad. I think that is actually what the Capitals have done, where, you know, it started when the year they didn't make the playoffs, and they sold at the deadline, and Garnet Hathaway and Dmitry Orlov went to Boston. I even saw a little bit of that last year in Anthony Mantha going to Vegas and whatnot, but I think when you look at the big picture, and I think we really started to see what the vision was this summer in and around the draft and free agency, where the Caps have stockpiled picks and they freed up money and they went out and got some assets that can help this team right now. And they are, you know, last season that you go in this time last year, they're the oldest team in the league. And now they're the 9th oldest team in the league. That's a pretty dramatic drop, and I think it means that this team moving in the right direction, bringing in Jacob Chychrun, bringing in Andrew Mangiapane, bringing in Matt Roy defensively, and bringing in Logan Thompson in goal, for that matter. A lot of new faces. More new faces than we've seen in a long time on opening night, about half the roster different from this time when we were sitting here last year. So I think all in all, this team is getting younger, leaner, faster, all the things they needed to do because they had gotten to the end of the Rock the Red era, if you will, and moving on to what's next. And I think this is kind of the beginning, in some ways, of a new era here tonight.
All right, we're talking Caps season opener with, of course, John Walton. You know that voice. So you mentioned a lot of new players have come in. You can't always predict who's going to jump off to a great start, but who for you of these newer faces are you kind of expecting to see some really good work right off the bat?
Well, I'll tell you who I want to see right off the bat is Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I think that, you know, when you look at his career and you look at where he was drafted, he was 3rd overall by the Columbus Blue Jackets and had some good numbers there, but they never felt that he got to his potential. And they traded him in a big trade a few years ago for Patrick Laine. And in Winnipeg, he put up good numbers, but he didn't want to sign in Winnipeg long term. and ended up signing a big ticket with Los Angeles. And that seemed like a good fit for him, except that L.A. was in the midst of a coaching change and there was some upheaval there. And he never got the top six opportunity that a player of his caliber probably deserved. And I think it was a rough year for him. And, you know, there was an opportunity with Los Angeles looking for goaltending. It ended up being a good fit to send Darcy Kuemper to Los Angeles, being Pierre-Luc Dubois here. They need him to produce. He's going to be in a top six role here. He will not be with Alex Ovechkin on his line tonight, but he probably will at some point in the not-too-distant future, and certainly at some point through the course of the season. You might see him together on the power play. And I think that in the role that he's in, he's perfectly suited for this lineup. And I think he's a big body, great skater, great shot. They need offense from him. The real problem with the Capitals last year was that they did not have a lot of offense. They were 31st in the league in goals for. They got to be better than that this time around. But I think they will be, because I think when you look at the personnel that they've brought in, I would expect it to be bigger and better.
So you mentioned power play. You know, obviously, so much of what transpires out there is how do you deal with your special units, power play, and penalty kill going into this season. Which one for you do you feel the most confident about for this team?
That's a good question. I'm confident in the PK just because it's been so good under Scotty Allen ever since he came here. And I think that the guys who are on the PK, Connor McMichael's been a very good young add to a core that already had Tom Wilson and Nick Dowd and guys that, you know, will do anything to win, and they're really good at the PK. I think that's something. I'm not too worried about the PK. Power play's got to get off to a good start. Last year, the first half of the season, it was not good, and they can't afford that in what is a better Metropolitan Division, pound for pound. Capitals need to get off to a good start. You do that by having a good power play. They can't have – they had a stretch at one point in the first half last year where they were 3-for-63. It doesn't get much worse than that. They can't have that. They need to be able to plug in some of these new weapons like Mangiapane, who we're going to see in Oshie's position on a power play going to the front of the net. You're going to see that a little bit. Wilson will be in that role, I think, as well. Jacob Chychrun is going to be on the second unit behind Carlson. He's a great power play guy and going to get a little more time on that second unit than maybe he would have otherwise in that position. So I think all in all, I think, you know, the power play's got to produce. And especially in a game like tonight, you know, New Jersey has such a good power play. You've got to win the special teams battle, and the Devils are pretty good. So even here right on night one, as we get it going here in a little bit, you've got to be able to bring that to the table.
Ben standing here on 106.7 The Fan till 6:45 when we turn it over to John Walt and his group out down in Chinatown for the Capitals season opener. Let me just ask you this broad Ovechkin question. We all know he's chasing Gretzky and he's getting, you know, closer and closer. Still had 31 goals last year at the age of 38. When I was covering the Wizards, one year they had Paul Pierce join the team, and Pierce was amazing in the playoffs, and I said it was the most fun I'd had because it was like watching a guy come out of the Hall of Fame to play for the team that you're, in my case, covering. That was one year. You've gotten to cover Ovechkin forever at this point. I mean, do you ever just have take a moment to sit back and look and go, wow, I have had the pleasure of covering and talking about this guy, one of the, I don't know, 10 best players in the sport for all these years?
Yeah, and really, the in terms of numbers, no DC athlete is ever going to pass. No football, baseball, basketball. Like, there's just no comparison. It's, you know, in terms of longevity, you're only got two guys that even got to 20 years in the same uniform. It's just unbelievable. But to your point, there are times, I think when you're in game 30, 40, 50 of the season and you're in the grind and, you know, you're just in the room every day and it's just, he's there. And it's just, you don't really think maybe about it, you know, specifically every minute, but do you reflect on it when the off season, a night like this? Absolutely, yes. And, you know, even in the red carpet and everything going on out front, you know, we don't have many of these left with him. And that's the one that it gets me that, you know, there's the record chasing. And there for me has been, you know, I wanted to call hockey in the National Hockey League and I wanted to call a Stanley Cup winner. And I got to do that here in D.C. What you don't dream about and what you can't even believe are calling his 800th goal, like I got to do in Chicago 2 years ago. And that, to me, is just incredible. You can't dream that. So, yeah, on those nights, on this night, and I always, just with a little hint of, God, we're not going to be able to do this too much longer. And that hurts because he's kind of made my career, honestly. He was a big part of the cup winner. And, I mean, all the goal calls that get amplified in so many different places and just that small little tiny piece of history that, you know, Joe and I get to be a part of, it's just incredible. And I loved every minute. And I'm going to miss him when he's gone because, I mean, that's, you know, just enjoy every moment, enjoy every game, enjoy every minute that we get with this guy because there's a lot more behind him than there is in front of him right now.
And just lastly on that with Ovechkin, so he needs 42 goals to get to Gretzky. That's obviously going to be the big storyline, and perhaps rides shotgun with a team if they surprise him a little bit and become more of a contender. It's a beat the clock situation here. What where are you at with the timeline here? He needs these many goals, but the gas has got to be kind of running out a little bit. Where do you kind of view the chances for him getting there this year, or how long do you think maybe he's going to have to keep playing for?
Yeah, it's a commonly asked question, and sure. I would say this. On the positive side of it happening this year, the TV networks, ESPN and TNT, both seem to think it could really happen this year because we have more national games at the end of the season than probably any team in the league. I think four of our last seven, five of our last eight, something like that, are on national TV because they think that could be the night. So certainly possible. They're setting up for it to be at the end of the season. He's certainly done it before. I would say this. I don't know if I want to get too much into the predicting business just because end of this year, beginning of next, I think is what you're looking at. But I think you're going to have a really good idea, Ben, in what happens this month because we've seen, you know, last year it was a slow start. We have seen Alex come out firing in October where he's got the jam. He had four goals on opening night a few years ago. If he's got 7, 8, 9 goals by Halloween, then baby, it's on because that would be, I think the whole hockey world will be buzzing if he comes out. And that's like on a night like this, you know, you get a couple power plays and a bounce or two, and he gets a couple tonight even, and something like that happens. And everybody's going to start to be looking at the whole hockey world is going to be looking at our town and going, okay, yeah, this is on, this is going to happen. So I don't know. I think October is going to tell us a lot, quite frankly. I hope it's this year. And I just, for all involved, like for Joe and for me, when we get into these milestones, we just want it to be clean when it happens. We don't want it bouncing off somebody's breezers on the way by. Did he get it? Did he didn't? We want it to be clean and easy, and then we can do our thing.
John, let me slip in one last question. I was thinking so much big picture, I forgot. Oh, wait, there's an actual game tonight. What's the key against this Devils team? What does Washington need to do to pull this one out?
Yeah, it's a weird situation that you've got the Capitals, who every team except Anaheim's already played at least one game, and the Caps haven't. So they're going up against a team that incredibly is already playing its fourth game because the Devils started the season in Prague, played the Sabres twice there and won, and then two nights ago they ended up losing in a game to Toronto. So they played three games. They're coming in a little smarting after a loss at home in their real home opener. So I think for the Caps, you've got to keep it simple in the first 10 minutes because you're going up against a team that already's kind of kicked the rust off, and now the Caps have to do the same. I think it's going to be coming down to, you know, the new identity line, checking line for the Caps. Nick Dowd's line is going to be out against Jack Hughes. You've got to slow down their weapons, and you can't take penalties. In a night like this where you're just trying to find your legs in game one of 82, if there's a parade to the penalty box, that's not going to be a good thing for the Caps. But if you can keep the whistles, do a minimum, get your legs underneath you in the first 10. I think they got a good chance of taking it down. You want to get off to a good start. They got this three-game homestand right here with Vegas coming in on Tuesday, Dallas Thursday. All these teams are good, by the way. So going to be interesting to see what they do because they need points against good teams. Let's hope they get it started here tonight against New Jersey.
Well, John, you can follow John on X, Twitter, at John Walton, PXP, and, of course, listening to him here not just today, but all throughout the season. John, I really appreciate the time. Best of luck with everything. I hope whatever you get to call all the big goals, all the big moments this year and beyond, and look forward to listening. Thanks so much.
You bet, Ben, anytime. Glad to do it.
That was the great John Walton. So glad to hear him on the call tonight and just to have a chance to talk to him. as I said at the top, I haven't done radio here in a while other than as a guest, but not as a host. To hear a guy with his pipes and the way he can conduct himself, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how this is supposed to sound. It was a pleasure for me. All right, we'll take a break here. We've got more to talk about, like, obviously more Commanders Ravens. And if you want to call in about anything else, 800-636-1067. Ben standing with you till 6:45 here on 106.7 The Fan.
Juan Martin dropping that interception last weekend. Like, from a coaching perspective, like, how do you get him to next time that opportunity arises, you complete the play?
Yeah, that, you know, and it was really a clinic take on how he broke on it. But we have to do a better job. I have to do a better job of just drilling it. We're not touching the ball. I think it's been five games and we haven't had an interception. I don't know if in my whole career we've been five games and not had an interception. So apparently I'm not doing a good enough job of exposing these guys to enough ball drills and understanding to, you know, different type of throws, different type of anticipation of where the ball goes. So we'll drill it more. We'll get creative with it. But we have to produce the ball more.
That was Commanders defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. this week talking about the defense. He was pleased with what, you know, they've obviously looked better the last couple of weeks, better communication. The pass rush has shown up. You know, the secondary has certainly improved and held their own. But as Witt pointed out, they have not been able to get a lot of turnovers, zero interceptions so far. They're one of three teams in the league that has yet to have one. Now, my bigger concern for the secondary remains just, in essence, the coverage. You know, the first 4 weeks, the opposing team's number one wide receiver had a touchdown, if not a touchdown and a 100-yard game, if not a touchdown, if not two touchdowns. Last week, they did a better job keeping Amari Cooper quiet. The Ravens, of course, have Zay Flowers, and there's a lot to deal with here. I think what's going to be interesting for me about this game in particular, right? So let's just say the best case scenario, they win this game. They go to 5-1. Next week, Carolina comes to town, you know, arguably the worst team in the league. So they're staring 6-1 at the face going into the trade deadline in week 8. Now the plan has been, it's not about this year. It's about building a baseline, you know, improving the mindset, all that kind of stuff, and then helping Jaden Daniels. But at some point, if you are a team with that kind of record, you're going to have to possibly say, you know, we really maybe do need to make a move, not sell guys away, but actually bring them in. And for me, the number one position would have to be cornerback. Barring injuries, I just don't know what else they could do. They look, give credit to Benjamin St. Juice, who's, I think, had a pretty decent year. Mikey Sandersill's moved from the slot to the outside. Noah Igbinoghi has replaced Sandersill in the slot, and they've been going with that group this whole time. And of course, you get help from the safeties with Quan Martin and others. I just don't know that that's enough. I don't know that they have enough of a group. Again, it may not matter if Adam Peters and company are like, hey, we're staying straight. We're going forward. Don't worry. We're not worrying about this year. Well, look, we've already impressed here. Why do we think we need to make moves, especially to give up future picks? We don't want to do that. But on the other hand, it's got to be tempting. In the case of corners, there are some names still out as free agents. Perhaps they could go into that route, but I think that's what's interesting here to me. If they actually could get past the Ravens and then the schedule ahead isn't that bad, hey, maybe it is time for them to make a move. We can talk maybe a little more about that, but we'll talk Commanders, Ravens, and NFL Week 6 up next here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com